Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this hot Sunday, July 8th, 2012 day, and welcome to the Ask Yaye Feeney Show. We have a show that is, wow, several people, we decided to do this show. Actually, Yaye Feeney decided to do this show because people have spoken to her in reference to this topic. And the topic is finding a career that is supported by your spirit. And there are several questions that we have, and we have put out there for people. And they're also on the Blog Talk, so you can go and you can review them. So you could sort of ask different questions or ask those questions or wait for answers to those questions if some of them are your questions. I would like to say welcome to this powerful woman, knowledgeable, spirit-filled woman, Sister Yaye Feeney. Welcome, Sister Yaye Feeney. How are you today?
I'm feeling good. Feeling very good, very blessed. And thank you again, Ruby, for following through. I know last week we had to reschedule the show because of the lack of electricity. And some people, unfortunately, still don't have any electricity. So today it's so hot down here in Florida that my heart just goes out to those who, you know, and my prayers to those who do not have electricity yet because it is unbelievably hot this summer. But thank you. It's just my pleasure, my honor to be here. And for those listening, audience, as well as those that are going to listen in archive.
Yes. Sister Yaye Feeney, would you like to lead us into meditation, meditation to family meditation is a cleansing. I see it as a cleansing. And it's something that we should do often. So today we will let Sister Yaye Feeney lead us into it. And you could do the same one over and over, and it's up to you. But it's something that we on this show feel is very important, and that's why I'm going to let Yaye Feeney lead us to meditation, please.
Okay. As you said, meditation is like food. You have the spirit needs it because this is a time when you can decompress and disconnect from the bombardment of thoughts and ideas and things that's coming into your head. And so every morning, just give yourself even 5 or 10 minutes just to do deep breathing and just cleanse your spirit of any thoughts, of any things that you're going to do or any process. Just allow your spirit to take over and to guide you into just a loving, very loving place. And so today the meditation is I want you to just be in a safe place where you will not be disturbed, quiet, and just take a few minutes to just take 3 deep breaths as I guide you into this brief meditation. So just breathe in and then breathe out nice and slow, letting it all go, all of the stress. Breathing in again and allowing it to just breathe all of its decompression. Another deep breath and breathing out, letting everything come nice and slow. And now that you're feeling calmer, more serene. I want you to take your right hand and put it on your heart. I want you to feel your heart, feel your the beat of your heart. Boom, 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 boom. Feel that. And I want you to connect to that rhythm of your heart. And as you connect to that, I want you to surround yourself with a loving lavender color mist that's just surrounding you as your heart is beating. Boom, 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 boom. And as you see this, I want you, the word that you will be focusing on today is love, knowingness, love, knowingness, love, knowingness, and belief. The love that you have, the love that surrounds you, and knowing that every cell of your body is enjoying this rhythm. And the bliss is a feeling of complete aloneness and joy. Love, knowingness, and bliss. As your heart is pulsating, and you have your hand on your heart. Know that every cell in your body receives love. And when you receive love, you remember and you know everything. And when you remember everything, then you're in a state of bliss. So there's no stress, there's no worry, just enjoying this moment, this minute, right now. And when you're ready, you can move your hand from your heart and place it on any part of you that needs healing. It could be your arm, your back, your forehead, your stomach. Just place it there and allow the energy of your heart to engulf and heal your soul. Okay, I want you to take your time now and come back to where you are in the present moment. Remove your fingers, your toes, to bring your awareness back to the space, to the present. Whenever you're ready, just open your eyes and give yourself a big hug. Okay, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Sister Yaya Feeney, I'm going to ask, I don't know if you have to turn your phone up. There was in the chat room, they were saying that they can't hear you well. Your voice is really low. So
okay,
I'm not sure. Right. It's your voice is really low. So
okay,
if you
I
could.
I was doing a meditation on myself, too.
Yes, yes,
can
you
they
were.
Hear me better now?
Yes, well, I can actually hear you better, so I'm sure they can too. But I didn't want to interrupt you. Okay, I didn't want to interrupt the meditation for those who could hear you. I just didn't want to interrupt. I'll send a message in the chat room and ask if this is better. So, family. A little bit about Sister Yaye Feeney before we get into our topic for this evening. Sister Yaye Feeney does self-empowerment workshops, and she has one coming up in December. And the workshop will be the basis of it is for people who are going through grief, who have suffered a loss, and you know who need to talk about it and work through the pain. And so that's what this workshop is about. And at some point a little later on, I will have Sister Yaye Feeney talk about that. And also, you know, there's a lot of home remedies that, you know, I guess our ancestors did, and now, you know, we are so, you know, I don't know, modernized that we sort of bypass them. Unless we really get in a crunch and nothing else is working, then you want to go to these home remedies or alternative medicines. Yaye Feeney has home remedies that she does. She makes her own products, and you can find any information you want on her. You can find on her website, which is www.yayefeeney.com. That's www.yeyefeeney.com. And she has scrubs and all kinds of things that are just wonderful and that you would love. And she's doing a lot. And as I said, you can find a lot of information on her website. And later on, she will be talking about the products that she has, you know, which includes scrubs and vanishing soaps and lotions and just all type of healing products that, like I said, she makes herself. And I will let her speak on that a little later on. Right now, and I, too, want to apologize for last week. A lot of people were looking forward to the show, and, you know, I'm sure you heard because, unfortunately, it made, I guess, worldwide news, the big storm that we had here in Maryland that knocked out power and trees, and I guess 1.5 million people were without power. But we're back up and running now, so I think we should jump right in, because I do know a lot of people were wondering what happened to Sister Yaye Feeney last week. So let's jump right into this topic, and that topic is finding a career that is supported by your spirit. And I will let Sister Yaye Feeney take it from here.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm sorry that I didn't, sorry that you couldn't hear me doing the meditation. But it's a powerful meditation that I did to Oya. Perhaps you can go into archives and
yes,
hear it and do the meditation again. So I'm sorry, these technical difficulties. Okay, as you said, finding a career supported by spirit. So what is the career? Because if we say we want to find something, then we have to define what is a career. A career, according to the dictionary, is an occupation or profession, especially one required special training followed as one's life work. Again, an occupation. A career is an occupation or profession, especially one requiring special training followed as one's life work. And then I looked up spirit. And the definition is this spirit the souls. Oh, the soul's separation from the body at death, or the non-physical part of a person. The non-physical part of a person and the seat of emotions. And so if your career is an occupation or a profession that you're trained for in your life's work, how do you know that your spirit is supported by it? Because when you are choosing a career, you usually choose something that you like, that your spirit is saying, oh, I think I like that, or my parents said I should do this, I should get into this career, or I stumbled up on it, or I'm just looking for a job to make ends meet. And so I went on and looked further, and what is a job? And the the definition of a job is a place of work, especially a specific task done as part of the routine of one's occupation for an agreed price. So it's a place, is a piece of work, especially specifically tasked done so that you will be able to earn money. And so your job and your career are tied into each other, because if your career, you chose your career because you needed to find an income, afford the things that you want in life, and, of course, feel rewarded or feel like you're giving back to the world. And so you choose a career based on perhaps what you wanted to do as a child. Sometimes we start saying that, oh, one day I want to be a teacher, one day I want to be a wife, one day I want to be a cook. And then somewhere along the line, sometimes we get disconnected from it and we listen to externals and not the spirit, and we get misdirected into something that I need something to pay my bills. And then you wander off into that aspect of it being a job because you're getting paid, and it becomes your career. You wake up one day and you're 30 years and you're retiring from a place, from a job that has given you some powerful fulfillment, some energy that you feel like you've given back to the world, and you've been able to support yourself and your family in the lifestyle that you want. But then there's the other side of that. There are some people who wake up 36 years later and they've never liked their jobs for whatever reasons. They have many reasons, and the reasons are usually because it's not connected to their spirit. There's no connection to the part of their being that is not physical. There's a part of them that says, I need more or I need less. And trying to find that is what makes you wake up 36 years later and you don't like your job. And so to finding a career supported by a spirit, is the first place that you would have to go is, of course, to investigate your spirit. How would you do it? How would you get an idea that the type of job that you would do? Well, in traditional African system, you would know what your personality is, what deity or orisha or sign or odu or expression of the universe you come back with this incarnation, really, really heightened. Your awareness about a specific profession is very highly developed. And through a consultation or through an astrological chart, some way of checking with spirit, what is it that you don't have to go to school to attain joy, contentment, finances, but that you already have within your spirit? To get training or an education for it, that's just to enhance it. And so you always consult spirit, whichever way that it makes sense to you, through numerology. All of those things are connected to the one. It's connected to the energy or the vibration of when you were born.
when you were born, there's a vibration and an energy in the universe that says this person has X, Y, and Z ability. They're born on a specific day, that people who are born under that influence, people that are born on certain days of the week. And this is not just what they would call old wives' tale. This is scientific proof. And so when you ask your spiritual counselor or astrologer or numerologist to map out the course as to what would be good for me, what is it my number, or what is it that my energy brings? And so these things are telling you what spirit is saying. So therefore you will be able to have a career that is supported by your spirit. You have to investigate the spirit. Now, if you don't have an opportunity and you have not done that and you're in a career that you love and it's, you know it's supported by your spirit, it's because your own spirit is so highly developed that you listen to your spirit. Through meditation, for me, is the way that I connect to spirit. When you are breathing, you are disconnecting from the mundane. You're disconnecting from the verbal world. You're disconnecting from the see, the sight, the sound, the feeling, the smell, the touch of life. And you are going straight into spirit, the place where is the dark, the place that is the unknown, the place that feeds you when you come to a question and say, what am I to do about this? And the answer comes to you, that's the spirit. It's the part of our being that is not physical, that is not, you cannot see it, taste it, but you can sense it. And so if you are in a career where it gives you that type of fulfillment, then that is what you have connected. Your vibratory resonance is so high that you are able to, through meditation, connect to exactly what it is that you want to do. And so that's the first thing that you would want to do. The next thing I think you would have to go deep into yourself, enhance and develop the things you know about yourself on a deeper level. Let's say, for instance, you're a person that loves music or love art or love math, love strategy, loves planning. Your spirit is already saying that you have the potential for greatness. When we do not listen to spirit, it's because we have allowed fear to get into our concept of spirit and makes us limited and brings us into a place where we don't even know why we are afraid. Sometimes we don't want to come out of our comfort zone because of pressure from other people, pressure for the finances, pressure of taking a risk. So we have to go and explore, what is it about following my spirit that makes me frightened? And so when we are looking for going deep into and to enhance the things that we know about ourselves, you can ask your friends. Ask your friends, what is it that I do well if you have not figured it out already? People already know you more than you know yourself because they see your spirit on a daily basis. You can explore the things that bring you joy and use this as a guide when you're seeking to connect. Just explore the things that bring you joy. And that's the spirit, because the spirit of the most powerful energy is love and peace. And that's what brings you joy. And so when you are in a place, the thing that gives you joy, you feel at peace when you're doing it. And you feel happy and you feel supported. And so you investigate those things. So that's some of the ways that I thought that we would go in terms of finding a career that is supported by spirit. I know I covered some areas where we're speaking to people who are looking for a career, but we're also addressing those who are already in a career. And then later on we'll address, how do you know it's time to move? from where you are. And so that's what I wanted to open up with finding a career, is that you must first, of course, know that your spirit is already speaking to you. Find the ways that you're able to connect to them. Meditation is the first. Meditation is the first of knowing, is to get still and say, what exactly is it? And your spirit will tell you every time. So I'm open now for any questions, or anyone who wants to add to this conversation, please feel free to do so.
And I, family, the call-in number is 310-742-1887. Again, that's 310-742-1887. And press the number 1 if you have questions or comments on this subject, on this topic, actually. It's finding a career that is supported by your spirit. And I don't see that I have anyone who have any questions right now, but I have a comment on this. And I would, and also I do apologize. Family in the chat room, you can type your question here, and I will read it, or you can use the call-in number as well. I have to say, when I was in school, my mom pushed me towards clerical and secretarial work. That's the high school that I went to, and I guess, you know, I'm not ashamed to say that I'm 50, but back then, that was the thing to do. Clerical, everything was, you know, if you can type, you can find a job anywhere. And that's the way it was. And college was good, but it wasn't necessary to find a good job and to move up in that job. And so that's the path that I took. Later on, I sort of veered into what I liked. It was still the typing aspect, but it was the legal field. So being a legal secretary, I love that excitement of preparing for a trial and doing the legal research and that type of thing. And I think that change was, I'm not sure if it was spirit-led or how I got there. I just know that I was working as a secretary, as a clerk, typist or something, and something just led me to that. So I'm assuming, and Yefine, if you can tell me, maybe that was my spirit leading me in that direction, so giving me something that I could be passionate about and also make some money at.
Yes, definitely that was your spirit, because when you're looking for a career that is supported by spirit, you ask yourself, what type of things do you find that you do naturally without a lot of effort? You know, what things do I like to do that I don't have to go to? And so you love law. So the reason that you love it, because somewhere in your spirit you like to unknowingly defend other people, or to know that there is a way out of oppression, or there's a way of getting out of being a victim, or there's a way that the underdog wins. Does that sound like something that you were interested in?
Yes, definitely.
So that's
it definitely
why you would
love does.
That's why you would love law, because you could have been a secretary at a bakery, but you weren't interested in that. You were interested in what is it that connects you, that when you go home at night you feel like you've contributed to society, that you've made a difference. Because everybody wants to be supported, and everybody wants to do something that supports others. That's just a natural order. Everybody wants to give because everybody wants to receive. And so the thing that gave you satisfaction is at the end of the day you felt like, wow, I made a difference. Wow, look at that person that came in here and they weren't guilty. Or look at that person that was guilty and they got what they deserved. You know, so it gives you that feeling. So it is your spirit that took over, because that's the thing about spirit. It's easy, because the part of spirit is connected to God. It's the voice of God. It's the energy is the part of us that is not seen, but is the connection to the non-physical entity, and the non-physical part of us is spirit. We are both physical and spiritual beings. We have both aspects that are just as strong as each other. The spirit is just as strong as the physical. When you want to go and do something, your mind is prepared because your spirit is determined. And you says, okay, so this is the qualification that I need. But the spirit, the energy that motivates you, that connects you to God, is that it makes you feel joy. It makes you feel accomplishment. It makes you have a sense of peace. And so that part of us that's connected to spirit, that is your essence. That is your ashe. That is your orisha. That is your chi. That is the part of you that makes you glow in the dark. When I did a lecture, I like to do it with this little scenario where God has all of these little shoeboxes with lights, and the lights are us, the people that are going to manifest God's wishes. And so when God says, oh, I think I need to send one down that's going to fight for the rights of people, he goes in this little shoebox and pulls out one spirit and says, okay, it's your turn to go back to earth. And that person then becomes you. And you glow. So when God sees us and we are connected to that shoebox, and the shoebox is managed by the Creator doesn't see gender, sex, orientation, skin color, race. It just sees someone that's going to come back and make a difference in my world. That's all it thinks about. That's all the Creator thinks about. It says, okay, this is what's required at this time, and so we send that particular light. And so when the lights are turned off where the Creator lives, it's all these shoeboxes with nothing but little boxes. Remember when children we used to chase those little fireflies?
Yeah.
That's what we look like. We look like little lights. Some lights are brighter than others because some come back with more power developed than others. But we are just like little lights. And the Creator, it chooses whether it's to set it now or next week, 10 years from now. But it's always a strategy of the Creator to always send something that's going to make the world a better place. And so when you come back, these little lights, meet other lights that's going to support it and make them brighter, make you brighter. These are the people that you find in your life that you marry and that you raise your children and the people, your friends, your support system. These are the lights. And you have the dim lights that come to you also to take some of your light because they don't have enough. And so you, being such a strong light, you know how much you can give. How much of your light can you give without dimming your own light?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when you know when enough is enough and I've given enough, and you don't keep giving to someone or something that you see it's not working for you. And so when I think of that, it makes me feel a little better than thinking that, okay, I'm here, God has sent me to do this great job, and I hope, and I don't have a clue as to what I come back to do. But if you find in that little story there that you can relate to the little light that you are, you're always connected because the purpose that you came back was designated by the owner of all of the spirit, which is the Creator, the essence, the thing that gives us our breath, the things that decide whether tomorrow morning all of us that's listening on this radio show is going to wake up. That energy is what we're calling about, the owner of the little shoeboxes with all of the spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you are looking for a career, you come out with what your parents said, which is cool because they are your first teachers and they know
yes.
the scenario of the society in which you live in. But then your spirit makes a shift and says, okay, I can take what I like about my life and enhance it with what I have a passion for. And that's when you have a career that is supported by your spirit. So that was supported by spirit. And the work that you do now is supported by spirit because it's about helping children, supporting them in there, and it's the same kind of thing that you have a passion for people. or situations that need assistance to overcome difficulties. So our spirit is always there. Our spirit is always there to help us. So the thing that connects you to your spirit and is the thing that you do without any effort. You don't have to even sweat it. It just comes natural. When I was planning for the show, I said I would start off by saying a little bit about me, but it's not even that important because all of us have had the same path where you start out with something and you end up with something else. Okay, is there anyone that wants, does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I'm looking at one of the questions where it says how do you take your passion and turn it into a career? I don't see any questions in the chat room or anyone with their hand up. So I'm going to ask this because although I feel that my spirit had taken me to the turn of from clerical secretary to legal secretary, that, and I love the law. I have this passion for dealing with the law and issues, but I have this very strong passion for writing, and I guess all of that is a one because it's something that I do that helps people, and the book that I write, the books that I write about, helps, empowers. It tells stories of real people and their lives, and it helps others. So how do you turn your passion into your career? Because that's something that I'm struggling with because I, as you know, I wrote a book, a couple books, and I'm trying to turn that into my career. Although I love the law and the secretarial aspect and that, I would love to, my passion, my true passion is mentoring and motivational speaking, you know, and that's what my book does. How do you turn your passion into a career?
Well, the way that you turn it into a career is that you find the point of it that it's not work. When it's not work, then it's not a job. It's something that you wake up every morning happily to do. And so you find you do the background, you do the homework, you take the class, you take the workshop, you expose yourself to everyone within earshot. How to connect you to people who will support it. So if your vision and the thing that you want to do is to motivate and to take your book to make a difference, then start where children are. Start in the school. And turn that into, so the passion that you have for the book, then you make that your career. So you start very simply, how many schools are there in my neighborhood? And you go to every one of them every Monday, and you expose them to that. And while you're doing that, you'll be dropping little seeds along the way of people who are going to be able to embrace that. And then you find a hotel and you have yourself a conference for teachers. And how to, because the teachers are overwhelmed and they need new ways of doing old things. Because just like back in your day, it was typing, today it's computer skills. And in between the teaching and the computer skills, they're losing the essence of the children's personality. And so the children are off the chain because they're trying to say, what about me? What about me? And you're saying you have to finish this within the next half an hour because the bell is going to ring. And whether you get it or not, it has to look on paper that you got it. And so we're losing the children. So that's where you're going. And you have workshops for teachers. And you may have to start off by doing it free. Because if it's your passion, you always find a way to make sure that the money is there. Like I said, to expose yourself. Bombard yourself. Start right where you are. Have it after school. Have a workshop every Friday that children know they can come and get two lollipops and some ice cream. And while you're doing that, and invite their parents and get involved. So your passion is the thing that you don't think about what you want to do or what you think of. Is that too much for me to do? You just follow it. You just follow, because passion is the energy behind passion. it doesn't have any logical explanation. It's just that that's what you love to do. And so you start small and build. And everywhere that you go, you talk about your book. Everywhere that you go, you make sure that you have it. And then you get support by other people who are doing that. It's endless. There are endless people on websites now on how to self-publish or how to get your thing in mainstream. Start a blog. But you have to be in every night before you go to bed. You have a plan and you have a piece of paper next to you as to how you're going to enhance this passion. What new door are you going to be knocking, and what new place are you going to be? You're going to the pool. You're going to talk. People love professionals to come and speak because it gives the teachers a break. And while you're there, the teacher is listening to you, and then you pull her in. And so you have that. So that's just my one way of saying that, you know, how to turn your passion into a career, is that the career that you have is something that at the end of the day you can say, this is what I did for 30-something years, and this is how I paid my bills. And but the road of it is that you have to find a job that is not a job, but that is joy. It's not work, it's pleasure. Because one of the questions that we have is, do you have a job or a career? And a job is just something that you're doing for the money. Or do you have a career, something that you're planning and putting things in place that at the end of the day you feel that effort, you feel that energy?
Yeah.
Do you have a job or do you have a career? So a job, as you said, you're just doing it because it pays the bills. But a career is something that at the end of the day you find joy in it, and it's long-giving, and it is essentially who you have become. And then the next question is, how did you choose your career? And we just covered that with you and I'm sure other people. Now, how does your career fit into your spiritual life was the third question. How does your career fit into your spiritual life? The aspect of your life that makes you feel grounded even when you're challenged. That's the part of you that is connected. So how does your career fit into your spiritual life? And when I say spiritual life, I don't mean your church going or your mosque or your synagogue or your temple going there. Going there is you see it, but we're talking about your spiritual life is the aspect of your life that makes you feel grounded even when you're challenged. And so whatever it is that makes you feel that no matter what happens, I have a source that gives me hope. You know, how does your career fit into that? If your career is something that you're just doing because you're looking for a job to get paid, then your spirit is not going to be connected to it, and you're not going to find the joy or the passion. But if your spiritual life or the aspect of you, the part of you that makes you feel grounded, then you will wake up and feel, you know, I know that God is going to open a way for me to make whatever it is that you're doing. In your case, to sell the book or to empower the children. In that moment, you're doing it's connected to your spiritual life because it's not taking away from you. It's enhancing you. It's encouraging you. It's giving you in scenarios where you can actually uplift yourself and feel good about your spiritual life. So that it goes hand in hand, is that your spiritual life, the thing that makes you feel grounded and to have hope when you feel challenged, that is the source of what makes you find your passion and get up every morning, even when you're tired, when you're exhausted, you always find a way of making it happen. That is the place that makes your career based on your passion, and it makes your passion your trigger to make you successful in whatever work line of work that you're doing. That's to me what, you know, and in essence, it depends on what it is your spiritual belief system is, because then you have to find the place that you're challenged. When you're bombarded with challenges, how do you address it? How do you go to work? Sorry, I dropped the phone. How do you go to work? How do you stay sane, you know, while you're going through the process of maybe changing jobs or finding a career? How do you do that? And so, for me and for people who have a spiritual system,
you go back to that source of spiritual grounding. With me is ritual. With me is using things to shift the energy of feeling sad, depressed, blocked. So you do things to move it. You use energy. You use rainwater. You use herbs. You use a chant. You use a different color that you're dressing. On my Facebook, I always have something that you can use to change the energy, because challenges is just an opportunity that you have not recognized yet as a blessing. It's not a negative thing. So how do you recognize it in the moment, not after you've lost it, is by shifting your energy with ebo, with ritual, with ceremony, with meditation. You have to address the spiritual aspect of you, because if you are only looking for finding the joy and the passion in your mind, then when the spiritual aspects or the lessons that are coming and the blessings that are coming through spirit, if you don't recognize it, then you could walk away from your job and say, I'm done. Because of someone else, you hear people quitting their job because they didn't get along with the people on their job. So at the end of the day, who was the winner? The other people, because you're out of a job. And so the source of it is, how do you stay grounded? You stay grounded by connecting to the thing that makes you feel, during challenging times, you feel uplifted. For me, that's getting a consultation, getting a reading, getting some ritual, getting something that shifts, get a numerology chart, find out exactly where the moon is, what am I going through. I have a CD that we did, Olubushola, one of the priestesses and myself, did one. It's called the 52-day cycle, that, you know, every 52 days you change a cycle. You change a cycle. So what cycle am I going through? Let me look at that. Look, always are investigating the things that are not seen. It's connecting to spirit. Spirit has the power to change your way of thinking and organizing every 52 days. That's just rhythm of the universe. Just as the moon is going to be full, and no matter how much you pray and how much you sing to it, or how much you think that you're in control as a human being, The moon is always going to be in the full moon, because that's spirit. And so you and every one of us is generating an energy that connects to the spirit of the universe. And that energy is every 52 days we're changing different things about us. And so if you're in a place that's challenging, then look at that. What cycle am I in? Am I in a cycle where I should be changing? Or am I in a cycle that I should be observing? Am I in a cycle that I should be expressing? Or should I be in a place of internally analyzing? And so those are the ways that when you are bombarded on your job or feeling, you know, that you're losing your mind, how do you move through that without saying, oh, today everything is going to be the same. Every day is going to be the same. Every day I come to this job, I hate it. Well, what aspect of it that you hate? And then you have to question yourself, why is it that you hate it? And why is it that you love it? And what aspect of it do you love? I know you love the money, but the fact that you're there must be something else. And then you have to question that and looking at it from that perspective. So does that answer the question that you asked originally?
Yes, it does. Someone in the chat room said they appreciate the comment about the blog. They just started one based on the direction they would like to take for their career. So they wanted to thank you very much about the comment about writing a blog. That's a good idea. They seem to think that's a good idea. Okay, thank you. Okay, family, I would like to give the call-in number again. The call-in number is 310-742-1887. And you have to press the number 1. And that way I can see from the switchboard that you have a question or a comment for Sister Yaya Feeney. And I would like to take this time to tell you a little bit about Sister Yaya Feeney, and then I will let her elaborate on some of the things that she's working on right now. Sister Yaya Feeney does readings. She is, what can I say, an exceptionally gifted spiritual reader. She does this using an ancient African system, which I will let her tell you about in a couple of minutes. She is also a spiritual coach. She uses holistic approach towards total wellness, and she does this through spiritual consultations and mentoring. And the good thing is she assists you step by step through this process in determining and achieving the personal goals that you have set for yourself. And the process begins with the reading. That's how she does it. She gives you the reading, and then you look at what she's told you, and then you go from there, and that's where her spiritual coaching comes in. She also is a cultural consultant. She hosts several cultural events, conferences of all sizes, family reunions, naming and renaming ceremonies, weddings, gala events, and so on and so forth, and she will elaborate on some on that as well. Now, and I've already told you about her spiritual products. Sister Diafini has a book, Meaningful Mondays. If you look in that book, I mean, the book is terrific. I love it. If you look in the book, you can see several different things that she uses. She talks about rose petals and, you know, how to make your cleansing baths and things like that. And she can do that and put those things in her book because she is very knowledgeable about them. She makes her own products. The soaps, the scrubs, all of that. She does that all herself. And it's amazing. It's just truly amazing. And as I told you, any information you want to know, whether it's about her and her self-empowerment workshops, or if you want to purchase her book or any of her products, you can visit her site, www.yayayfeeny.com. She has the Ask Yaya Feeny show. Normally it's the first Sunday of every month. If you have topics that you are interested in or you want to talk about, or you have a group of friends and you can't agree on something, send us that topic. And that way we can get it on the air, we can draft up some questions, and we'll do a show surrounding that topic. And you could send that information to YeyeFeeny@bellsouth.net. That's YeyeFeeny@bellsouth.net. And she welcomes all emails, any comments, any suggestions, or any questions that you may have. And if you're any events or anything you want to know that's surrounding your life spiritually, you can always send her an email message or go to her website and see exactly what she does and who this powerful woman is. So I'm checking in the chat room and online. I see that we do have a question, YeyeFeeny. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up this caller, and I think maybe after the caller, if we don't have any other calls, I'll go back to my, you know, talking about you and let you elaborate on some of the things that I said about you. Is that okay?
Yes, then I can go into the other aspect of the outline. Yes, great, thanks.
Okay, then caller 214 with the last number of 0980. I'm pulling you up on the air. Caller, you're on the air now.
Yes, thank you very much. And I have been deriving quite a bit from YeyeFeeny's explanation so far. In fact, I wanted to make a comment about my own career development and as an evolving spirit. When I was younger, early, I had an interest in the mental health healing profession. And as far as I can remember, that's what I wanted to get into. And when I graduated from undergraduate college, there were no jobs in that field that I could get right away. And so I ended up getting a job working for a aerospace company in designing their technical information to create a library, as it were, for all their scientist technical reports. And reluctantly, I took that. I took it reluctantly because I didn't think my heart was in that. And when I finished with that, I then went to graduate school to study becoming a social work administrator, and that would put me back on course. And, of course, in the process of doing that, it wasn't too long before I began to get materials and create a bookstore again, and it kept returning me to books. Now, this was by the time I got to creating my own bookstore, I had realized a pattern had occurred that when I was in elementary school, high school, and even my work study job in undergraduate college, I worked in libraries or where there were books. And so now I was being thrown back into another area of working with the book setting. So by that time that I had my own African-American bookstore, I was finding joy in that. And so I hadn't started off thinking about that, but it had evolved in that. Now, later on, fast forward, after doing some social work and the bookstore, I was led, my own spirit led me into African spirituality. And this heightened the connection of spirit with what you do and finding joy in what you do. And there is where I find how spirit, which you spoke of finding spirit and using rituals to affect spirit. So that took me deeper into that aspect and to a closer relations to developing. So I just wanted to mention that sometimes in your life, you look back, you see how spirit was guiding you even when you did not realize it was guiding you into a particular thing.
Well?
Yes.
Did you ask a question?
No, I was making a comment.
Okay. Yeah, that's a comment. That is amazing because just when you were interested in mental health, you said, right?
Yes.
And as a priest, exactly that's what, as a priest, is mental health.
Right.
So it brought you right back to what you wanted. Your spirit guided you into exactly what you wanted to do, and you used books as a way of healing people by connecting them to the topic that will help them, that will make them feel well. Is that not correct?
Correct. And that was the point that I wanted to just really comment on, because how the importance of spirit and how it is even working when you don't even know, realize the that it's working. And when you look over back over your life in points in time, you can really see that.
True.
When we are raised in a culture that does not have the skills and the material or the knowledge of the power of spirit, that we're kind of raised, kind of bumping from one situation to another to another. When you are a person that is born in a society, in a system that knows that the gifts that you have are going to allow you to find joy in your life, then that's amazing. And so as you're saying, you're raised in a culture that tells you, okay, I like books. But at the end of the day, you end up doing the very thing that you always wanted to do, which is to help people. That's amazing. Thank you so much for the comment.
Yes, caller, I would like to say thank you. And Sister Yaya Feeney, you have a question in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
It says, you mentioned following cycles. Can you elaborate on that a little more?
Okay, cycles. We all have a rhythm, and we have a connection to the universe. And every 52 days, it shifts. You're in a cycle from your birthday to 52 days after that you're laying the foundation for what you're going to do for this new age that you're in. And then each cycle that you have, even within that, every 7 years, there is another cycle of life. And so when you connect to the big cycle of every 7 years, and then you connect to, to the monthly cycle, then what you're doing is you and universe are in one. Just like the trees. The trees know when spring is coming. No one runs around the neighborhood and says, okay, trees, start blooming. Nature, neter, or God, that's the word nature coming into, is neter, which is the ancient Egyptian word for nature is God. God tells us when it's time to shift. Unfortunately, man has choice, and man can choose whether to listen to nature or not. Man can decide, well, I don't like nature that much, so I'm going to change it. I'm going to do a job that is not appropriate for a woman. There are certain jobs that women should not have. But when we're looking in a democratic situation, we want to have jobs because we think that each individual has the right to mentally, intellectually have the same skills as each one, but we're not. We're made differently. Each woman, each man is made completely different. If a woman has a job where she is in a place where she's drilling streets and she has that big equipment that's going on her uterus, that is going to have an effect on her. They're now doing studies to find that women who work at night for many years have certain physical illnesses because they're not within the rhythm or the cycle of the female energy. So all of us have a connection to source. And every 7 years we change, every 21 days we change, every 52 days we change. It's all going into nature, just like every season. In my book, as you mentioned before, in the Meaningful Monday, that's why it's so important for us to fast and to cleanse. It's so that we will be able to be in tune. Every seasonal change, you should wash your inside and your spirit out. Because the person that you are in the spring is completely different than the person that you are in the fall. Completely different. The things that you're exposed to, the food, the nutrition, completely different. And so your cells know that there's time for change. In the summertime, we're eating a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables because they're readily available in our own community, in our own farmers market. In the winter, they're coming from sometimes 5,000 miles away. So the nutrients, most of them are just, they look like and they smell like it and they taste like it, but it's not really the same vegetable. And so our bodies know that you have to cleanse it. Our spirit knows that in the spring, you're upbeat, you're up because the universe is saying new things, new ideas. And in the fall, you're saying close down, go in, you're getting ready to really nurture the things that you had this summer. And so in my book, that's why I have the fast that I do every
season, I do a fast for 21 days, sometimes 14 days, to cleanse, to tell my spirit and to tell my body that I am in tune with you. I know that I need to shed. Just like in the fall, even if you live in the tropics, there's a change that happens to all of the earth. The fat there is not there just to the same degree. And if you live in a cold northern area, the leaves fall off, and it looks like the tree is dead, but in the spring it pops right back up because the energy that it was using to create new life, it takes that sugar and puts it into the roots to strengthen it. And so that's why it's important for us to cleanse and to fast, because the rhythm of our body is dictating us to change, because there are bigger changes that go on within the universal flow of energy. The big energy that is exuded by the Creator that addresses every molecule on the face of the earth, every being that's on the face of the earth is impacted by the essence of Asher, or the essence of the Supreme God, or the Supreme Energy, or the Force, or the Kahuna, or it, whatever you want to call it. But it's the Force, the energy that gives us breath, that we can breathe without paying for it, without being bombarded by someone trying to take it. Breath is free because it's given to us with the love when we were created. And so the rhythm that we have is every season you have to cleanse your body, you have to cleanse your spirit. Every season I do a consultation on myself, not myself, but I get a consultation on me, to let me know exactly what are the changes that I must make so that I can maximize success during each season. So if it tells me during the summer season to make sure that I'm getting rest, usually in the summer you don't want to get rest because everything is outside. If it's telling you to rest, because maybe the rhythm, the cycle that you're getting ready to come into in the fall may be hectic. So the universe knows already individually what you have. You have a spiritual DNA, an Odu, which is a computative binary system that is given to you every time that you sit in front of divination. And it says, this is a time for this, this is a time. Even in the Bible, there's a time for planting, there's a time for sowing. There's always a rhythm. And so when we get in tune to that rhythm, then we're able then to maximize the things that's going on in our job. How do you stay sane? You know, when you're going through all types of things in your career, and how to find, even define your career that is supported by spirit. Find ways for you to connect to spirit by volunteering. When you volunteer, what you're doing is you're telling spirit, I know that you have something bigger for me. I'm going in here and I'm going to give. And anytime you give, you're going to get. But when you're giving because you think you're going to get, then you don't get. But if you're volunteering because the passion that you have is that you want everyone within ear range to receive some of the stuff that you have, the goodness that you have, that joy that you have, then when you volunteer, you're going to infect, and that is going to bring you away a shift in your career. Meditate on the things that you want, not what you don't want. I don't want to have it. No, meditate on exactly what you want to see yourself do. And, you know, if you find that you have certain interests, ask the universe to give you the opportunities to explore them. You have people that say, oh, I've been through all types of things. I don't know what I should do. Ask exactly what you are interested in. What are you interested in? And ask the universe. You could do it in a prayer. You could do it in an affirmation. My house is full of affirmations. Anything that you can say repeatedly over to yourself, to the universe, then it will open an opportunity. What you say, you will see. And then you can explore, you know, use rituals to help you shift
you know, your consciousness. And sometimes the irritability that you have on the job and the frustration you have on the job, you can do rituals for that. You can do ceremonies to shift that, to awaken the part of your being that controls joy, happiness. And then, of course, then you can ask, what is the purpose that I'm on that job? Or why is it that I want to leave? Now, this is a part where I can share a little bit about me. When I started out my life, I wanted to be in art. I wanted to paint and to draw and to be an interior decorator. That was my dream as a child. I used to spend hours just drawing little pictures of just people dressed up. I remember in Panama when we had Dia de la Raza, where it's a time when it's October the 12th, what is it, Columbus Day or something, where you're able to explore the different cultures, and that I always just love to draw pictures of people in different costumes and that kind of thing. I always loved it, and I love to decorate and make the house look nice and that kind of thing, and I love that. And so I went to school for art and ended up involved in the 60s in the revolution. And from that, then, I ended up getting involved with things that had to do with painting pictures for people to see this culture of Africanism to be beautiful. So I am still an artist. I am still an artist. It may not be the artist that I thought I would be. I thought I would be doing pictures and I would be decorating. And for those of you that know me, I am always redecorating my house. I go through a phase and I just throw out everything. My spirit just says it's time for something else, and I just get other things, and I love to create my own throw pillows and curtains and little areas of little nooks and things. So you find that your spirit never forgets you, the passion that you have. And so the kind of passion that I have for African spiritual system, it is that of the artist. Every day I wake up and I try to figure out another way that I can reach people to let them know the power of spirit. Every day. Sometimes those of you that see me on Facebook, you wonder, that little woman can do that much. This morning we had the celebration for the ancestors. Today I have a radio program. Tomorrow I have a class. I'm no young girl, but every day I wake up and I feel like this is a new day, that there is something else I can do to make somebody happy by knowing that spirit lives. And spirit is letting me know all along, I got you. Because spirit is always bringing me new information for me to say, oh, my God, I love this culture. Oh, my God, I love spirit. I love the interpretation that spirit is giving me. And I get tired and I'm exhausted and I go to bed and I wake up the next day and I'm ready again. That is because I found that I can still be an artist. I'm still painting pictures every day that people can say, oh, my God, that chant is so beautiful. Oh, those clothes. Oh, the things that you just said. It is the artist. So spirit never leaves you. You just have to listen to spirit, and it takes you to a place where you're supported. And all of these years, I've been doing this for 40 years. This is the life that I've created for myself. This is my career. My joy is my career. This is not like work for me. I wake up every day and I'm trying to figure out one new way to do something else. I get up and I walk around my neighborhood and I start exploring what herbs or how can I make some type of CD or DVD that people can make a class? How could I get on my Teaching Tuesdays? How could I teach people how to take a pumpkin when we have a lot of pumpkins and how to act? That is an artist, but is also a priest, because you're using the passion that you have to share with others so that they can be happy and joyful in their life. So spirit never forgets you. It never forgets you, because I didn't start out with this. I did not start out saying, one day I want to be a priestess, or one day I want to counsel people. No, I just wanted to make people feel good and say, oh, my God, that's beautiful. That's why I love to give surprises. I love people to just open something or give you something that you, oh, my God, thank you. That it's the artist, is the wow factor that I love. until you find your career in the place that you love, that every day you wake up is not work. Because if it was work, you say, well, I'm not working today, I'm tired. But if it's passion-driven, then you find the energy to find somewhere to volunteer, to connect, to ask people to do ritual, to meditate on it, you know, and to ask the universe, just ask the universe constantly. I know that I move every 10 years. Now, it's not that people tell me I need to do that. There's no reading that told me that. I know in my spirit, after 10 years, I am ready to move. That spirit. And every time I leave from one place to move to another, it's not when I'm doing bad. I'm doing very, very well. Because it feels good to me, and that's how I live. That's connecting to spirit. And whenever I go to the next step or the new next place or the next country or the next city, it's always such a joyful place because I meet new people and I can paint another picture of how to embrace African spiritual system in my case, or how to embrace your Bible by finding things in it that connects you to being an African or to being a European or to being an Oriental or being an Asian, to being wherever you're from, that you can find, oh, my culture is the same thing. Oh, my Bible, oh, my Quran, oh, my this says the same thing. That's what we want. We want us to be in a place where we are making this tapestry of love, this tapestry of connection, that the world is such a beautiful place. And when it becomes something that all of us can wrap up with and go to bed is when we recognize the beauty that each one of us has, the career that we have, the job that we choose, the children that we have, the food that we eat, all of it makes us be in a place of peace and of joy. So y'all hear my passion, right?
Yes. I hear it, definitely. Okay, at this time, I know you said you wanted to elaborate a little bit more on the questions that we have, but would you rather do that, because we have about 40 minutes left, 35 minutes or so, would you rather do that and maybe at the end talk about the different things that you're working on now?
Yes, that sounds good.
Okay.
Okay, the next question said, did you choose your career or did it choose you? And I just gave an example that my career chose me. I gave the blueprint, but the career chose me. Priestess, you know, lecturer, mother, grandmother, godmother, you know, vegan, all of those things that go with who I am. That chose me. I didn't choose it. I did not even choose to be vegetarian. I love, you know, when I was growing up, I loved fried chicken and pork chops and everything else. But when I looked at the health of my family, you know, and I said, and I was introduced to vegetarian cooking by Ra Unefer from the Osirisset Society, and I was like, whoa, this makes sense. And I started with it, and I felt my body feeling better. And before that, I got a reading from my godfather, and he told me that I need to stop eating beef, because whenever I did, I used to have these real bad temper outbreaks. I would get so angry easily. And he told me I needed to stop eating red meat. Mind you, he ate red meat, and he wasn't coming from a place of dogma. He was individually saying, your spirit is saying you don't need to be any more like a bull because you're a bull enough. And so I stopped eating beef. And then I stopped eating pork when I learned the kind of things that was in it, the worms and things, but I ate chicken and turkey and that kind of thing. And then when I went to the Osirisset, they had a retreat, and it made so much sense, and the food tastes so good. And after that, then I incorporated it in my life, and then one thing led to another, and then I stopped eating fish, and my body, I just feel so energized. I'm 65 years old, and I wake up earlier than anybody else, and I'm up at 5:30, and I'm like, I got energy until I go to bed at 9. I don't have any ailments. I don't take any pills. I don't have any blood pressure, no obesity, none of that, because I monitor, I recognize. My grandfather died from a stroke, from high blood pressure. My father died with no legs. My aunt died blind from diabetes. Why would I want to repeat that?
True.
So I started saying, you know what? I'm when I go out of here, I'm going out when I'm 103, and people say, yeah, Phoebe's still hanging around. She's still doing readings. You know, and I saw her the other day. She was going to the gym. That's what I want. I want to be healthy enough to enjoy this picture that I'm painting for the universe to know that God is love and God is beauty and all of the things that our spirit, we can do it if we just monitor the things that takes away from the spirit. And for me, not eating correctly was making my, it was damaging my spirit. I used to have a lot of acne all over my back. I had it all over my face, all of that when I was eating meat. And for me, it works. I don't tell anybody to stop eating meat.
Mm-hmm.
If it works for you, that's fine. But for me, it was different. So it chose me. I did not choose to be this kind of person. Like I said, I used to eat pork chops and everything else and delicious. I can still cook it.
I have a question for you in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
It says, if you find yourself in deep envy of someone else's career path, would you also say that this feeling of envy is a good indicator that you should be on that path also?
Well, I don't know, because if you're envious of someone else's career, you don't really, that person perhaps is not looking at their own power. Maybe they could be in a career that's better than that person.
Mm-hmm.
But their career may be different. Because when you're looking from the outside, it always looks prettier. The other person's career, you can't judge how good it is because you're only looking at it from your limited eye. Because that person's career is just saying that you are not aware of your own power. What is your specialness that can give you the sense of grounding and joy that you can say, you got that and I got this?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's that you want that same person's career. It may be, but it's not going to come through envy, because envy is a disconnect, is a judgment that you're placing on yourself as well as the other person, as to how good they are and how good you are.
Okay.
So ask, does that answer the question?
Okay. Will do.
Because when you know your specialness, there's no need to look across the street.
Okay. I'll wait for the person to respond. Absolutely, you did. You definitely did answer the question. Hello?
So ask me a question like, how do you go to a job where you know the lady on the other cubicle can't stand you? Those are the kind of questions we need to know. How do you, because I was speaking to a friend of mine, and she was saying that we are in a paradigm now that we're shifting, and a lot of these 9-to-5 jobs are getting ready to be obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we, who are in spiritual work, how do we support and how do we have a lifestyle? How do we have a job, a career in this when and if the type of life that you know, the kind of career that you have ends? Those are the kind of questions that I'm hoping that people would ask, you know, to kind of stimulate this conversation. But the direction in which we're going in this world, everything is shifting. Just like you, the best thing for you was to be a typist.
Mm-hmm.
Today is a computer analyst, to be able to know everything that's happening in a computer. That's what makes you valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to come a place where there's an oversaturation of those people.
Yes.
And so it's going to shift. So a lot of the 9-to-5s, a lot of people are becoming entrepreneurs now. People are becoming inventive. People are getting creative by using the passion that they have to launch careers. The way that I started making those products that you mentioned, that the soaps that I make, Orisha soaps, and the vanishing wash to cleanse the cubicle for the lady next to you or the man next to you in the next cubicle that you want to stab them, how to shift that energy, how to bathe your children where they're off the chain and you can calm them down so they just fall asleep before 8:30. You don't have to scream and yell and follow them around. How do you take a leg of soap and wash your feet when you're going in for a job? How do you put on some of the oil that I have and put it around your computer if you make money on the computer? How to line your wallet with a piece of, excuse me, with a piece of paper or cloth with the money drawing oil that I make in there? How do you use different essences? All of those things I share and I sell. I came up with them because I was using them for myself. I was using them for myself because I study herbs and that kind of thing. I'm not so much from an academic perspective and saying that, but I do use the academics to enhance the knowledge that I have, but I use it by trial and error, by sweating up and not swelling up. I know what's toxic and what to pick in the morning and what herbs don't pick at night and all of those things. I learned all of those things from exposing myself and from the different countries and that I go to visit or live in and that kind of thing. So after that, I was like, okay, so you know it. So what good is that doing for you? Your job is to teach the world. So I started sharing everything with everybody on how to use it and how to enhance it and how to combine them. And that's how I have the Orisha soaps and different things for you to use them on the special days. And when you put on your blue, use a Yemanja soap. When you're feeling bluesy or depressed or cranky or sad, how to lift you out of that depression and bring the joy of Yemanja to nurture your spirit and look into yourself as to why is it that you're sad rather than, you know, let me go try to find me a man and that kind of thing, to have the external stimulation instead of internal analyzation. And the things that we use, and the Dalhousie soap, which is when you're having real traumatic blockage financially, you take that soap, the herbs that you use, that their purpose is for abundance, that their rhythm, their biological rhythm is to open doors. And so you take that and you blend it with other things and you create that. So that's how I started this, and it sells very well.
You have a call. Caller 857-7317. I'm bringing your mic up now. You have a question or a comment for Sister Yaya Feeney?
Hi, good afternoon, ladies. First off, before
Hello.
I even ask my question, good afternoon. I have I wanted to ask a question to Yaya Feeney about a topic that she just touched. When you're at work and you're dealing with people that are just nasty, I mean, I've always known that I was to be an entrepreneur. Like I've known that since high school, and I've recently completed a graduate program, and so now I'm in the process of looking for work, but I'm only looking for work to use money to leverage to start my own business. But in the meantime, I've been very nervous. I got laid off in 2010, so I went back to work. I went to school, and then now I'm entering back into the workforce, but I'm very nervous because for some reason with my energy, I tend to attract women that are very nasty, very competitive, undermining. And then if it's a male and he's very insecure or he has very feminine energy, I'm getting the same thing. So I'm wondering, why does this happen to individuals in that type of work setting? And what do you do to guard your energy? Like I heard what you said about the soaps and the different herbs. But in the meantime, why does it happen and what do you do?
Okay, very good question. It happens because when you look at the I have this little book that's called Household Guide for Yoruba Spiritual Wellness. And I talk about the different aspects of the world. We have the different souls. And we have a racial soul, a sexual soul, a part of us that connects to every, let's say, for instance, the sexual soul is every female is connected to every other female, if it's only the menstrual cycle. So it makes us uniquely female. We have breasts. We have a cycle. So we have a cultural soul, the part that makes us who we are. What is the trigger? What is the thing that holds us together? What is the culture? What is the thing that cultivates us? And then you have your racial soul. What racial group are you from? How do you look? How is your hair? All people with that type of thing. Do you have melanin? Are you not? Do you not have a lot of melanin? It makes you a different person in your appreciation for the sun. All of us have the different souls that we have, and nine of them. And so, when you look at the cultural soul of America, when you go into a job place with women, women have been culturalized to believe that every woman is in competition with her because you are in a place where male-dominated culture, the women don't have that much value. And so when they get the opportunity to be in a workplace, they're looking out for themselves because more than likely they feel that they're underpaid, they're not given the proper due respect, pay. It's and that the playing field is not level. That's a fact of this particular culture.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in a job place where every woman in there feels that they are in opposition and they have to pull out their nails to make sure that they the maternal instinct in them protecting their position, then you have that. You're not in an environment that's saying, let's go and do Tai Chi downstairs so that we can all get along like they do in China at lunchtime. This is not a culture that's saying, let's sweat so that the frustration of not having the correct pay for the right job does not make each other enemy, but let's use that energy to internalize and I'll be the best whatever it is that I'm being paid for until the political soul in the particular culture that you're in shifts and changes. And so when you find yourself in a place where you are surrounded by people who are always backstabbing and that kind of thing, then you have to use what you need to use to make sure that it does not affect you or infect you so that you become one of them. You have to be in a place where you're so covered, protected. I'm doing a class tomorrow evening. It's not online, it's in person. So you people here are not, if you're not living in West Palm Beach. It's the power of ritual. There are two types of ritual. One is defensive and one is offensive. And so when you are in a work environment, if you're going to be under attack, then you always have to be in offensive mode. That doesn't mean you come in and say, look, any of you be starting mess, it's going to be on. No, you don't do that. You wear the clothes, you make the song, you take the bath, and when you walk in, everybody says, no, we can't mess with her, because whatever she touches succeeds. So you don't have to say a word. And to the men that are insecure, it's the same thing. You have to know what spiritual energy you are exuding when you walk into the room with them. You don't have to act stupid or not smart or insecure or frightened or whatever when they're around. Now, you don't have to act like you're going to be a macho bigger than their macho. You just use your spiritual energy. You shift your chi and you find out what energy is governing that job.
Mm.
What is the lesson that you are to learn? Why is it that you're in a job where everybody is in opposition to you? It's obvious that you're not receiving while you're there. So a reading would be for me, if that was happening to me, I would use that as an indicator, as an opportunity to find out exactly why is it that when I walk into a job, I'm surrounded by X, Y, and Z? And so you find out what energy is governing you and this job, as well as what is the gift? Why are you there? Because life puts us in places that sometimes we are not clear when we pray and when we ask. We say we want a job where we can have long vacations and enough money to do the things that I want to do, and we forget to put a small note, P.S., I don't want people to be crazy.
Right.
And
right.
So we walk up into the crazy stuff, and the P.S. we never wrote down. So, whoa, it shows up. So then you got an eraser. It's called ritual. And you erase that, and you make your P.S. So ritual, a reading or a spiritual consultation or investigation or whatever you want to call it, tells you exactly why are you at that place and the job that you're looking for. When you get there, exactly what is the blessing there and why are you there?
Right.
And if you know why you're there, then, hey, it's a win-win. I know why I'm here. Later for you crazy. I know why I'm here, and I'm here to maximize what it is that I'm going to get to make this world a better place. That's the
right.
bottom line. And if you can stay clear on that one, you're good. Nobody can disturb your peace. I remember I had a goddaughter that she used to have this crazy, crazy, off-the-chain supervisor. Every day that woman found a way to just drive her nuts. And I did a reading for her, and the thing, the ritual was so simple. Go to the dollar store, know what it is that she likes. She connects elephants or something like that. Go to the dollar store, get you about three of them, and give it to her as a gift. Tell her, I know you like these, and I was just thinking about you. My goddaughter did that, honey. That woman was asking if she wanted to go to lunch and all of this, and all day was just so jammy. Sometimes people are in such toxic situations that we think that that when people work with us that that's the only life that they have. Sometimes they go home and these people are being abused. They're being disrespected. And so when they come in a job, they're going to try to disrespect anybody that they can beat up on. That's what a bully is. A bully is someone that is being bullied somewhere else, and they decide this is my avenue to get even. So those people, you have to deal with them with compassion, but you have to prepare yourself. Not that you're codependent.
Right.
Don't try to bring the sick people into your house. Keep them in the hospital. Keep them where they're supposed to be. Very clear that these people are toxic, and they have the potential to disturb your peace. And so your reading will tell you exactly what it is that you need, and it's simple. It's not no bunch of sacrifices and bathing in X, Y, and Z. She went to the dollar store and spent $3, and after that, that lady was her friend. She even invited her to an engagement party.
Uh-uh. Okay.
Another goddaughter I had, that the woman was just driving her completely nuts. Every time she did something, it was not good enough. She always found some excuse, blah, 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 blah. And I said, the woman is jealous of you because, and it was a situation where it was a white supervisor and my goddaughter was African-American. And the ritual called for go out and get five fake sunflowers and take those fake sunflowers and stick them in front of Oshun for 5 days, and you tell Oshun to infuse her energy of shifting jealousy into admiration. And take those five fake plastic or whatever you call them things, what is it they call them, the silk flowers, and put them in your office where every time that woman comes in to drop some paper that she claims you didn't do, that thing will just taser her butt with love. When my goddaughter left that job, she was retiring, and she retired from the job, and they asked her if she would take that woman's position. My goddaughter said, Yalosha, I need a reading. I already said, no, you don't want that. She told her before she retired, no, no, that's okay, I don't want the job. Right after my goddaughter left, retired, the woman was fired.
Mm.
It was not my goddaughter's work doing it. It is that while that woman was focusing on my goddaughter, somebody else was focusing on her. Okay. So while she was being tasered with love, somebody else was looking under some of the stuff she was doing. So when my goddaughter left from the job, the lady got fired. So that's how you deal with that from a spiritual perspective as far as your career.
Got it.
Does that answer the question?
Yes, it definitely does answer the question.
Yeah, don't be afraid, child. You're qualified. Don't let fear. Because when you're dealing with fear and as it pertains to your career, you're sabotaging yourself before you start.
Right.
Yeah, you can't do that. You have to go deep into know and to enhance and develop the things to know yourself on a deeper level. Because if you're insecure and you're afraid, then you have to go deep inside to find out exactly what is it and how is it that you need to do, what it is that you need. Ask the universe to bring me something or someone or some situation to deepen me to know myself on a deeper level. Why, when I'm at work, I'm always bombarded by these people.
Well, for me,
you know,
it happens.
Ask, also to ask Spirit to show you exactly what Spirit is saying.
Got it.
Explore the things that make you feel joy and happy when you're looking for this new direction that you're going. Explore all of the things that's going to make you feel good and use them, you know, so that they can give you a new direction when you're looking for the job. But you have to examine your fear or to know what your fears are, because they're the things that make you reluctant and can make you miss opportunities, you know, or shy
right.
away from opportunities for greatness.
Yeah.
Don't let nobody steal your glory or your shine because you're afraid. Ask yourself, why am I afraid of this new world that I'm going into? No, do not be afraid. Be bold, be courageous, but be prepared. And acknowledge the blessing and the lesson of the career that you left. It catapulted you into being an entrepreneur. So give thanks. And what is it that those women taught you is not is exactly what not to be like them when you get to the other job.
Yeah, if anybody, it seems like it's a lot, like it's not just white women, black women, Asian women. It feels like it's all women. It's nuts. And it could be at work. It could be at home. It can be, you know, in-laws. It could be friends of friends. I'm like, what is it with me and women? What is the problem? It's nuts.
But if it's even outside of the job situation, then there is something in these women that are reflecting back to you, and there's a part of you that you're in that you're not aware of.
Right.
Because so you're connected to them on a vibratory level. So every woman is a reflection of you. Remember, you've never seen yourself other than a reflection in a mirror, right?
Right.
And so each woman, the thing that she awakens in you is something about you. So that's why I say the first thing I say is that you have to deepen to know really who you are. Because it cannot be a thing that you have been signaled by God that this is a woman that you're going to jump off. It doesn't work like that. Everything that you receive is because on a level you are giving it. So you have to question yourself, what is it about these women that I am not aware of, that I am just like them on some level. And if you can embrace that, then you can start peeling off the level as to why. Because if you have been raised in a home where the women got along?
With each other.
Did they get along with other women?
Cool. I mean, yeah, they had girlfriends, and they got along with each other to some extent.
When you say to some extent, what's the extent that they didn't?
They just didn't get along with me.
I didn't hear you.
I said they just didn't get along with me. They got along with each other. They just didn't get along with me.
Your family members?
Right.
So have you ever had that conversation with them?
Yes.
And what do they say?
They won't. They don't acknowledge. They won't acknowledge it.
they don't want to acknowledge it, what they say, we don't want to talk about it, or, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
That, we don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? But I know, they know I know, and they know that they know.
So have you asked them, for instance, the time when you slammed the door on my finger and you didn't say I'm sorry, do you have any vivid, real examples that you can bring to them?
Absolutely.
And so when you bring that to the example, what is the response?
I'm sorry if I did that to you, but I don't know what you're talking about. Or I don't remember it. Or that didn't happen. Or, you know, I admire what you're doing today, but I don't know what you're talking about. But what are you talking about? That didn't happen. That type of stuff. There's no real, you know, I acknowledge this. I apologize. This is why we did this. Or this is why I did this, or this is why I participated in this, or this is why I felt that way.
Okay, so that's the thing there that you have to learn is how conflict resolution. Conflict resolution as a child or in your home was not had, you know? You didn't have
right.
it, and you didn't have respect of each other, so you don't know how to do it when you step out of the world, because they're your first teacher. So now you have to take what it is that you've learned that hurts you, and you change. You change so that when the situation happens, you're able to say, okay, now this is exactly what I'm talking about. And they say, oh, my God, you're so sensitive. When then you say, okay, so I acknowledge that I'm a sensitive person. So when they say something and it's not, they're not stabbing you physically, then you just say, okay, maybe I'm being oversensitive. Maybe it's not that deep. Maybe I'm giving them too much credit in my life.
Right.
Or maybe I need to choose new friends. But you have to hold yourself accountable to the world that you're going to live in.
Right.
And you can't give them the power over you. Not every female. That's not even logical. That's not even logical.
Oh, no, no, no. It's not every female, but it's a certain type of female.
Okay. So that's what I'm saying. So it is a certain type. Then ask your spirit, what is it about this type that somewhere is mirroring something about me that I have not acknowledged and I have not accepted? Because there's something that you're giving out that they're feeding you that.
Got it.
There's something in there, and if you can connect to that, because as I say, it's sexism in the workplace, it's sexism in the universe, you know, everything is about the female body is just being pimped on all levels. So all women are in somehow on a very competitive kind of thing. Sisters, women, girls don't even play sports anymore. They're always about just, you know, how much I can dress myself up to look better so that the man will want me. And it's always that dog kind of thing. You know, and so if you know that that's the cultural soul that you live in, then you have to break it. You have to change it by not being those women. And by acknowledging that the gift that these women are giving me is not to be like that. You know, it's like you have to teach from your pain.
Right.
And so the thing that hurts you, that's what you have to teach from. I'm not going to turn into one of these women. So I'm going to be the one to go to the dollar store and get these gifts. I'm going to be the one that's going to be the smiling face when everybody is saying, what's wrong with you? Oh, no, I just feel wonderful. And that's it. And then what will happen is, oh, here comes Miss Happiness. We don't even want to bother with her when we're feeling funky. And you're like, okay. But then leave the hell alone.
Right.
You're the person that brings the light. Either they're going to embrace it or they're going to shy away from it. But you, when you walk in, you are the light bearer. And you control your space. But look at what is it that you are, you're not acknowledging that on some vibratory level, you are either judging, passing judgment on them, or there's something about them that you are not acknowledging that you have about yourself. So I hope that answers your question.
It definitely did. I thank you, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller. Okay, Sister Yaya Feeney, we had another call, but I see that they hung up, and I apologize, caller. I know you were holding on for a minute there. I apologize. Sister Yaya Feeney, we have about 10 minutes left. Would you like to take that opportunity to talk about, you know, what you're doing and your consultation? And I know you mentioned readings to the caller, and she may not know that you do readings or how to get in contact with you. Could you give a little information? Like I said, we have just under 10 minutes left.
Okay. Well, I do consultations. I've been doing readings for 39 years. I've been initiated for 40 years into the mystery of Obatala. And as a diviner, what I do is I see the Odu, and the Odu gives us the story of the person that's sitting in front of us. I also read the spirit. So a lot of the consultations that I do, sometimes people say, oh, my God, I've never been read like this before, is that I read spirit to spirit. So what I'm doing is I am actually sitting inside of you, and your spirits are telling me what to tell you to affirm exactly what you already knew. That's what makes my readings like that. So that's what I do. I read the cowries. I also read the cards. And in the self-empowerment workshop initiation that you're talking, that you spoke about, it's about pain, grief, past, generational pain, transatlantic rage. It empowers not only yourself, but it brings healing to seven generations of your family. It's a ceremony and celebration that is 7 days. And it was given to me by my ancestors, gave me the technique and the gifts and the ways of doing it. And we do the SEW initiations of power to pull things. People, we have all types of testimonials on my website and that, of men and women who have been helped through grief, molestation, abuse, neglect, abandonment, all of those things that we just talked about. That's my history. That's my story. So I teach from my pain. And so from it, that's what my ancestors have given me to heal myself, is to recognize that I am just like everyone else, just seeking to find peace. And so through the initiation of the 7 days, we don't have Orisha celebration. This is totally spirit. So sometimes it's the first time people get possessed by their own ancestors and possessed, that, which means that their spirit actually is awakened in them and they feel it. And they talk to them and that. And so it's a spiritual connection to your spirit. And it's not much talking that is done during that time. There are 7 classes that lead up to the initiation. And that you can do online with some of my students that give the classes. And after that, then we come together in June and December for the 7-day initiation. It is $1,200 for the 7 days. And that takes care of your food and your lodging and everything that you need to, for that particular time. The consultations that I do is for, right now I'm getting ready to do a lot of consultations for children who are going back to school to make sure that they are really connecting to their not only their schoolwork, but their social life, as well as why is it that they're in the class that they're in and their teacher and who is their teacher, and spiritually I'm saying, not their name. And so I do consultations for children for going back to school for $25 because their children and their questions are usually not that in-depth, just to know exactly what kind of school year they're going to have, the kind of things that the parents need to get put in line in the home, as well as spiritually to ground them so that they can maximize, because, you know, the public school system, even private school now, is just about turning out carbon copies of somebody that wrote this up, you know, some 40 years ago. I mean, 60 years ago, as to how we're going to maximize these children, just turn them out, reading, writing, and repeating. And so we do that particular thing. Right now we're doing, as I said, I'm doing a class here in West Palm Beach, and it's in person at my own office here, on the power of ritual and spiritual, I can't remember the title of it, but anyway, tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. From 7 to 8:30, an hour and a half class. That's what I'm doing. We just finished an initiation for Oshun for a 14-year-old. Next week, the 20th, I'm giving 2 Oyas and an Oshun, which means that people are coming to receive the shrine, that one aspect of their life needs enhancement, And so through rituals, we're able to give them the tools that they will take home, that whenever they feel that aspect of their life is lacking, they're able to then rip it up and charge it up and come back to. So those are the kind of things that I'm doing. I am also, and I've been saying this forever, but it's actually happening. The Meaningful Monday book is actually translated. I now just have to take it and put it to the printer and finish the tweeting. But I've been just so busy, you know, painting pictures of love that I have not been able to finish that. And I'm writing another book, In Search of Obatala, which it shows all of the places and things that I have gone through in finding peace in my own life, from molestation by a woman when I was 6 to marrying a man that had 7 wives, had 1 wife, and I became the second. And by the end of it, when I left, you know, he had a number of wives. How did I raise my children? How is it that my daughters have so many girlfriends and they get along so well? And they ascribed it to the fact that they were raised in polygamy. And my son, how he is the kind of father that he is, and how in trying to find peace, the relationship with his father, his birth father, and myself is a non-existent, but how my son chose me to be his mother, to be the type of wonderful father that he is to his 3 boys. How is it that, as a priestess, how is it that I'm able to maximize, how is it that I live from this profession without doing anything that is immoral or incorrect to make sure that my practice is respected and reputable? How is it that I have brought the kind of people in my life that support me and love me and that take care of me in all aspects of my life? How is it that I radiate that kind of energy that people will come to me? And so it's different aspects of my life that I just wanted to share, so that whatever you're going through, trust me, I have been through it. I have been through it all. But how is it that I find the love of God, that I can say that I love my life and I love spirit? Because at the end of all of that, spirit always had my back. Spirit always gave me the answer as to why is it that I went through what I did, or what is it that I chose to do? Why is it that I did what I did? So it's a powerful book, because every woman can see themselves in it. Because we all have the same sexual soul. We've all experienced the same thing. Whether we're black, white, yellow, any race, we're all experiencing the same thing of oppression, sexism, racism, abuse, but also empowerment, leadership, priesthood, centering, and God-loving, not God-fearing, but God-loving and God-exposure. So those are the kind of things that I'm doing, and, of course, preparing for the SCW, and I have a godson to be initiated to Shango early and late this year. So the things that I'm doing is always what it is that I am required or requested. And so if there's anything that the listening audience would like me to do or is interested in learning that I can share with you, I'm always willing. I have CDs, DVDs. I just put out a DVD on how to make baths for yourself and for your children. As a $15 DVD, I have CDs and DVDs on different things. I have the Teaching Tuesday that I used to do on Facebook. I now have those in DVDs. You can get them for $8.
Yeah, yeah, Fanny. I'm sorry, we have under a minute.
Okay.
Left.
So those are the things that I'm doing right now. And, you know, in closing, I have the last minute, or you want to say something?
No, you have the last minute.
Yeah, okay. Okay, because I didn't realize I was running out of time. One of the things that we would like of this show, the people that are listening as well as in the archives, is to remember that the only thing that stops us from being the best that we can is fear. We cannot be afraid of the unknown. We have to ask the unknown. We have to ask spirit, why am I afraid, and what is it that the new situation of a career or a job is taking me, why am I afraid of it? And center yourself and know. A consultation, a reading works fine, but you can get the answers from your friends, from your loved one. And know that when you are grounded with spirit, your career, you will find the career
that supports your spirit, because your spirit will always tell you when it's time to leave the job, when it's time to enhance it, when it's time to shift into another career. So that's what I wanted to say this evening, and know that I will be on, hopefully, prayerfully, and intentionally next month on the first Sunday in August, and hoping to see you all on my show, Ask Yeyefini. And again, if you have any questions or anything that you would like answered, Ask Yeyefini. Just send me an email. So thank you again, Ruby, for your love, your support, and your commitment. Thank you, and have a lovely, lovely evening.
Thank you very much. And family, thank you for joining us. And we look forward to seeing you in the chat room and hearing from you on that first Sunday in August. Thank you, and have a blessed week. Thank you very much, Sister Yeyefini, for a wonderful show.
Good night.
Good night.